ಸದಿ ಗೌರ ಭಕ್ತವಿಂದ ಕೀ ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀ ರಾಧಾಕೃಷ್ಣ ಗೋಪ ಗೋಪಿನಾಥ್ ಶ್ಯಾಮಕುಂದ್ ರಾಧಾಕುಂದ್ ಗಿರಿಗವರ್ ಧಾಮ್ ಕೀ ಜಯ ಮಥುರ ಧಾಮ್ ಕೀ ಜಯ ನವದ್ವೀಪ್ ಧಾಮ್ ಕೀ ಜಯ ಜಗನ್ನಾಥಪುರಿ ಧಾಮ್ ಕೀ ಜಯ ಗಂಗಾ ದೇವಿ ಯಮುನಾ ದೇವಿ ತುಳಸಿ ದೇವಿ ಭಕ್ತಿ ದೇವಿ ಕೀ ಜಯ ವೃಂದಾವನ್ ಧಾಮ್ ಕೀ ಜಯ ಸಮವೇತ ಭಕ್ತವೃಂದ ಕೀ ಜಯ ಗೋಧನಂದೇ ಹರಿ ಹರಿ ಗೋ All glory is the assembled devotees. All glory is the assembled devotees. All glory is the assembled devotees. All glory is to Shri Guru and Gauranga. All glory is to Srila Prabhupada. Today we are in 4th Canto, chapter number 19, text number 35. King Prithu's 100 horse sacrifices. Katur viramatyam esha deveshu divargaha dharma vyakti karodyatra pakam virindra nirmitai. Lord Brahma continued, stop the performance of these sacrifices, for they have introduced Indra to introduce so many irreligious aspects. You should know very well that even among the demigods, these are many unwanted desires. Katur viramatamesha Katur viramatamesha Deveshu duravagaha Deveshu duravagaha Dharma vyati karo yatra Dharma vyati karo yatra Pakkam virinda nirmitai Pakkam virinda nirmitai to unwanted things. Dharma vyatikara violation of religious principles. Yatra there. Pahandir by sinful activities. Indra by the King of Heaven. Nirmitai. Manufacture. Manufacture. Sorry, my English is not. Okay, translation. Lord Brahma continued. Stop the performance of these sacrifices, for they have inducted Indra to introduce so many irreligious aspects. You know, you should know very well that even amongst the demigods, there are many unwanted desires. Purported by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. There are many competitors in ordinary business affairs, and the Karma Kanda chapters of the Vedas sometimes cause competition and envy amongst karmis. A karmi must be envious because he wishes to enjoy material pleasure to their full extent. That is the material disease. Consequently, this is always competition. There is always competition amongst karmis, either in ordinary business affairs or in the performance of yagya. Lord Brahma's purpose was to end the competition between Lord Indra and Maharaj Prithu. Because Maharaj Prithu was a great devotee and incarnation of God, he was requested to stop the sacrifices so that Indra may not further introduce irreligious systems, which are always followed by criminal-minded people. So one more time, verse, Lord Brahma continues to stop the performance of these sacrifices, for they have introduced Indra to introduce so many religious aspects. You should know very well that even amongst the demigods, there are many unwanted desires. Om Agena Timirandasya Yana Agena Chalakaya Chakshur Militamena Tasmai Shigurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Sapitam Jaina Bhutale Svayam Rupam Kadamakyam Dadasi Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Juta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavshascha Shri Rupa Sarvajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijata Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Scha He Krishna Karina Sindhu Dinabandha Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radha Vrindavaneshwari Vishabhanu Sutta Devi Pranamani Kari Priye Vanchakalpa Tirubhyascha Kripa Sindhupya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namanaha Shri Krishna Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadatara Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Very interesting chapter, very interesting verse for today. Do you know who is King Indra? He is very, very powerful demigod. He is also a very respectful devotee of Lord Krishna. He possesses many mystical powers. He is actually the king of all demigods. You know, it's not that anybody can be the king of demigods. It's not that anybody can do that service. You need to be very advanced to get honor to be Indra. So you can imagine when something like that, such as enviousness, can happen even to such a personality as Indra is. That means that this is something very, very powerful. You mean sometimes we have to put our finger on our head and think a little bit, you know, if something like that could happen to such divine personalities, but to speak about ourselves. What to think, how to be careful, how to be conscious, and what we're supposed to do to overcome that. Being devotee means being aware all the time. Being awake all the time, wake up. We should not sleep in material existence. We have to be aware that this world is one very beautiful and at the same time very dangerous world, and we have to be very conscious and careful. Today, I want to discuss about one not so nice and pleasant characteristics between us people. You can find that you can find also this kind of behavior in animal world, and definitely you cannot find between big great sages, and this is enviousness. What does it mean, being envious? How to recognize that, how to overcome that, and how to prevent that in future you're going to have less of that kind of behavior. So today's name of the lesson is enviousness. First, I want to say something about this material creation, this material world. We have a few very skilled devotees here in Mayapur who are, you know, 3D animators. With computers they can do miracle things, amazing stuff. You know, I was yesterday in Calcutta, I just checked one book on 3D animation. You know, in 3D, in computer now, you can create a whole new world. Even they're so skilled now that you cannot recognize what is this the real picture or it's something created in computer. Well, it struck me to think a little bit that we really live in one virtual reality here. This is not a real world. For one angle, from one point of view, it is. Means that we are really here. It's not illusion. But this, what we can see and what we can feel, is not what it actually is. We are in the middle of material energy. We are in the middle of Krishna's creation. And that creation is here just to help us to overcome our illusion, to help us to overcome our bad condition. This is a prison. And we have to be aware of that all the time. Material world is a prison. Spiritual world is our real home. We really belong over there. And here, we are right now just to purify ourselves and to go back home. That means that this is not place for enjoyment. You know, when you have a grihastha couple, you have a man who go to do some work, some job, to bring some lakshmi, some money at home, right? And this is very modern topic between grihasthas, how to bring money and more money and more money. So the point is that man is going there to do some job. Okay, he can enjoy a job a little bit, or job can be hard, but the point of job is to bring money back home. Because you're grihastha, you have to maintain your family, you have to take care about your children, about your wife, about family. Same thing is with material world. We are here to do something. We are not here to enjoy. It doesn't matter is it nice, it doesn't matter is it hard, it doesn't matter is it beautiful day or bad day, is it a storm, is it a rainy season, or it's super nice November, March weather. It doesn't matter. We are here to do something, and we have to be conscious all the time of that. And what we're supposed to do, because Krishna gave us this amazing opportunity to be in this way, to be in this path, is to be all the time aware that we have to work really hard to come back home if we want to do that. This is not easy task. Actually, this is the most difficult thing one being can do, not just human being, any kind of living being can do, to go back to the spiritual world. The most difficult thing. So when somebody come approach me and tell me, I feel boring today. You know what? If you're really doing things that you're supposed to do, you will never feel boring. Never, ever. That means that you're doing something wrong. That means that we are in the illusion. That means that we have to do something. And life is very short, day is very short, we should not waste our time. So, I will just put a few words about 21st century, particularly. You see, the modern society, and the whole storm is coming from the Western world actually, is based on enviousness. See, all these big corporations, presidents, everything, the whole world is actually giving that one conception as a freedom. To make people believe that they are free, but actually within the prison, we are in one even, you know, more tight prison, which we are doing to ourselves on this planet. What they're doing, they're giving us freedom, in the same time they're giving so many choices. You know, if you want to have all these different toys which they're making right now, you know, beautiful cars, to have a nice mobile phone or a few phones, to have, you know, perfect internet, perfect this, perfect that, perfect, you know, so many toys. You need at least 1 crore per month to have everything. Nice apartment, nice this and that. And we are always on one subtle level envious on people who has different things. When we see somebody who has something that we don't have, we are envious on that person, on unconscious level or unconscious level even, which is the lowest level. Unconscious level is a little bit higher. If we think about something and we know we cannot get it, even if you don't see the person, for example, if I have illusion that I want to have a Rolls Royce, you know Rolls Royce, you cannot feel it, you just flow on the road. This is, you know, it's illusion. Even there is nobody in my pool who has Rolls Royce, but still consciousness, I don't have it, so I'm envious on the people who has it. I don't know who those people are. Then I remember, okay, there is some Bill Gates, I guess they mentioned his name a couple of times, you know, he can have everything. So when you meet him personally, you figure out that this is actually a sad person, because he's also not on the right path, but the point is that, you know, he can have to fulfill few material things. When you're in the prison, when somebody's in the prison, you have people who are behaving bad, they are all the time in the cell, sometimes they put them in the locker down, alone, completely in the darkness, to think about life a little bit. Or you have Liberia. Liberia is the best, you know, toast in the prison. That means that freedom. All day you're in the library, your kitchen is available. That means this is just for people who are behaving really, really well. And everybody wants in the prison to be Liberia, you know. Those guys with those cars moving around, going and giving books to another prisoners. It's so comfortable that in one moment you don't believe you're in the prison anymore. This is your home. There is one case in Michigan, one man, he wanted to go out of prison after 20 years. He's supposed to go out. He finished his sentence. But he didn't want. My prison is my home. I'm Liberian. I'm special inside. Outside I'm nobody. He wanted to stay inside. It's amazing. But it's true. Sometimes we just think how to make our life easy. Sometimes we just think how to make our life better, more comfortable. This is a modern term, comfortable zone. That we forget why we are here. We are here to finish our sentence, to pure our consciousness and to go back home, because there is somebody waiting for us there, right? And we start, you know, gaining more and more, and there is that kind of feeling of enviousness all around us, and we are collecting more and more of that, and became completely unconscious, became completely maya. When you're envious, the first symptom is that you start to believe that shastras are not true, that maybe there is something wrong inside, that maybe there is something wrong with this movement, that maybe there is something wrong with your friend devotees, that maybe there is something wrong with your spiritual master even sometimes, that maybe something wrong even with Srila Prabhupada. We didn't recognize until now, but now I can't see, I have eyes for that. The soul, the seed of that feeling is actually enviousness. Why? There is explanation that actually the main reason why we fell down from spiritual world, and I can use this terminology, falling down, we fell down from the spiritual world, is actually that we are originally envious on only one person, Krishna. This is the source, this is the seed of enviousness. This is why most of us are here. All glories to the saints who came to liberate us. If there's some in this room, please forgive me. But most of us are here because we fell down, because in one particular moment we were envious on Krishna. You know, Krishna, he had all those beautiful gopis around, and he had so many things. Now somebody will ask, okay, how is that? Because, you know, there is a spiritual world over there, everything is perfect and everything. Yes, there is only one word. Somehow we wanted to be here. Somehow we fell down. Somehow we wanted to be independent. And because we actually cannot exist without Krishna, Krishna made this creation to make us feel better, but he is always with us. We cannot run away from Krishna. We can try. And we are trying, but we cannot. He is here all the time together with us. And that's the most beautiful thing actually about the whole this virtual reality around. So, 21st century, the main word is freedom. Did you ever notice that word freedom has om inside? Freedom. Om is actually association for peace. Being free means having a peace. It's interesting, it's English, but it works somehow. Only freedom is when you're in the stage of peaceful mind. Only freedom when you're focused and when you're completely conscious of what you're doing each second in our life. Everything else is not freedom. Everything else is completely opposite of freedom. Everything what is connected with our attachments is far away from freedom. What they're calling freedom today is, you know, having all those opulences, having a big, a lot of money, having many relationships, having all those nonsense around, but this is not freedom. Person should have enough to maintain his body and soul and to feel comfortable, not too comfortable, and to do more important things. And this is exactly Bhakti Yoga, and I will explain that later. So, actually, you know, before there was talking so much about African slaves. Before that it was slaves from different countries collecting here and there through the history. If you follow everything, we will figure out that there were many, you know, slave societies. I mean, based on slave system. But actually, we never didn't have more slaves on the planet Earth than now. In the middle of the 21st century. We are almost all slaves. You have to work for big company for big money. If you don't work for big company, you cannot just go around to sell something because they're going to catch you and put you in the prison. They're putting chips in you, they're giving you the plastic cards, and you believe this is my fortune, this is my goal, or they give you some papers which you can exchange between yourselves, then you depend on papers. They're not giving you more papers, otherwise you're not going to work so much, right? You have to work. Domino effect. We are all slaves. So now there are few people on the planet who are trying not to be slaves, who are more conscious, right? And they're trying to live together, to be together, to exist together somehow. That's great, that's fantastic. But also even in this kind of environment, you still have dangerous situations, such Indra has in this particular situation. So he is an Indra Loka, everything is one that they have all the yagyas, mantras and everything there. But there is one Pritu Maharaj on the planet Earth, he's performing, you know, sacrifice which Indra never didn't perform before for Lord Vishnu. And he became envious. Wow, he's doing greater than me. People will think that he is more powerful than myself. Who is more powerful than Indra? Okay, Vishnu, but who else? And he came down to see and he had, you know, he still crows. Then he give back, then steal again first, and he give back, and like that, just to prove. So, if we want to recognize endlessness, we have to see how we can do that. Well, there is a very, very easy way. There are three words which we are using when we are envious. Me and mine. I'm doing this. this, I'm doing that, I'm special, and you know, I. My phone, my car, my this, my that. This supposed to be mine. That's supposed to be mine. And me, take me, put me, give me, serve me, offer me, etc., etc. Other words, we are focused only to ourselves. We are not aware of another human being around us, or little aware. And that awareness sometimes, or quite often, we are using just to make benefit for ourselves. And since Hollywood is progressing, this kind of behavior is worse and worse. And it's not that you just come to live in Manipur and you're secure. Here is like a, you know, some glass or whatever is special energies around us, and there is no envious, there is no sense enjoyment, there is no. It's not true. This is inside. We can go in Indra Loka, we can go in the Brahma Loka. Even Narada Muni can take us in the spiritual world for a second. But until we don't pure our heart, we're not going to change. Mayapur is just one very, very auspicious and special place for those who want to change. And the main reason for people coming here supposed to be to change, not to change Mayapur. Don't add words. We have to change ourselves. Mayapur is perfect. We are not perfect. And this is how we're going to cure enviousness. Since more and more devotees are gathering here, we can feel more and more tensions around. You know, I just hear last couple of days already for two court cases between devotees and different things, in two different occasions. One almost happened, one is going on. Of course, I'm not going to mention names or anything. Point is that we are coming in a trap. We are coming in a trap. We are supposed to be a family. We are supposed to be a unit. It's a very small number of devotees, very, very few in the whole universe, not just in the whole planet, very few. And most of that few is here. The biggest concentration, the greatest concentration of devotees in the world is in Mayapur. It's here. We have to be aware of that all the time. So, we can be envious on the friends, we can be envious on the enemies, we can be envious on the strangers, we can even be envious on the spiritual master, we can be envious on demigods, even we can be envious on ourselves. You know that? Oh yes. We can be envious of ourselves. There is even explanation in Srimad Bhagavatam that actually if we are envious on another people, somewhere actually deep inside is that we are envious on ourselves. And deeper is that actually we are envious of Krishna. Again, we are coming back on that end, the reason why we are here. But if you want to cure, you cannot go from the top on the bottom. You have to opposite, we will discuss about that, how to cure enviousness. So, how to recognize, you know, if you follow this chapter, if you follow this particular last few verses, you could see that Brahma, when the whole thing happened, when Indra came down and took that horse, it was the 100th one. So actually, Maharaj Prita only sacrificed 99 horses, and he wanted to sacrifice more. But Indra continuously repeated he was trying to stop that performance. So Brahma didn't approach Indra. He didn't say, Indra, listen, my dear friend, oh, pure devotee of Krishna, please don't do that. You're a little bit envious now of Maharaj Prithu. He didn't do that. He approached Maharaj Prithu. He approached King Prithu and asked him, can you please forgive to Indra? He's doing a bad thing now, but he's very dear to Krishna, and he's very nice, and he did many good things. And he's, you know, in one little bit condition of enviousness right now, but you are the one who has to stop your error. Please don't kill him right now. This is actually the example of best approach when we see, you know, clashing between two devotees. We should not approach to the person who is enemy. We should approach the person who is on the opposite side of the rage. And to ask him, please stop this quarrel. And then the first person will come up into stage when he can control this envious and angriness. This is actually the proper way, the right way to deal with things. And Dharma gave us a wonderful example, Maharaj Prithu, and we are very thankful for that. Then, when that person forgets that enviousness mode of passion, come down a little bit, when it's ready for conversation, when it's open to receive the message, then we can approach and tell a few things. Only if a person asks us to do so. It's very bad to speak bad about devotees behind their back. That means if we recognize that somebody is doing something bad, that somebody is behaving bad, or had something bad, whatever, we are talking with a third party and we cannot change anything except talking with that person. Oh, this is bad. That devotee is really bad. He did bad, this and that. You know why? Because the word which you're repeating again and again is the word bad, and it's talking with your consciousness, and you're becoming frustrated, angry, and you will feel bad, and later you will feel the same thing what he is feeling. That means you will do something bad later when you collect all those feelings. Only people who are in position to do something, who really can change something, maybe somebody who is close to that person or who is, I don't know, some authority or something like that, then they have to speak about bad qualities and they have to do something to help that person. Otherwise, it's not healthy. We should avoid that because we will develop our own enviousness in our own life. And, you know, we don't need that, especially not here. Maybe in karmic world when people are envious, can bring them something. I'm envious, that means I feel motivation, I will go make money and buy that car. But here is definitely not a place for material enjoyment. Here is a place for spiritual development. And enviousness is not something what we can use in any way. We cannot use in any regard enviousness. That's why we have to avoid it. So, another point I want to discuss about envious today is that we should not provoke somebody else's enviousness. This is offenses. You know, if somebody, Krishna allowed him, he gets some good qualities from before, and Krishna somehow through some channel gave him to have a little bit more money, to have a little bit more pretty face, to have a little bit more this and that. We should not use that. We should not go around talking to the people telling, you know, I just got $65,000 for my auntie and she has two more apartments, she will give more and all. You know, whatever is the feeling you know, you have and motivation, you should be aware of another person sitting next to you. Maybe that person has some problems, financial problems. Maybe that person is not in great shape. You can talk about that only if you are ready to help that person, if there is a reason to speak about that. If we just want to glorify ourselves, this is not a good thing to do at all. So we should not provoke somebody else's enviousness, especially not here on the Holy Dham. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't do that. You know, he could invite Shankarji to come again and to approach him, to offer obeisance and everything, but he didn't. He went straight to him. Okay, he was chanting, you know, having a heavy kirtan and everything, but he approached Shankarji. You know, King Shankarji, when you hear king, you believe, oh, it's England, it's, I don't know. He was king of one small area, not so big area. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself. And he went to that place and approached that king and somehow helped him to overcome the whole dispute. This is supposed to be the behavior of great Vaishnava. You can approach person only and can help that person if you see something is wrong. If you want to speak good about devotees, it's more than welcome. You can use that anytime, in any occasion. You can use the day and night when it's recommended. There is one important thing which I repeatedly tell myself, because my first aid is huge and I have to work on that. This moment and Bhakti Yoga is not here to teach us to be dasa. I am dasa, he is dasa, she is dasa. Dasa means servant. We are dasa anudasa, means servant of the servant. Sometime, from time to time, Krishna is offering us a great pleasure to serve him personally. In Archamurti form, Archaviruha, or another form, so through his pastimes, through different, there are different ways how we can serve Krishna personally, but he is more than pleased, and more pleased than when he serves him personally, when we serve his devotees. There is a high level of Krishna's devotees, and those are sadhus, spiritual masters, whoever is in the line. And there is that middle level of devotees who are our friends, relatives, neighbors, etc., etc. And there is that bottom part, and those are devotees who are still not aware that they are devotees. I'm talking about karmis. We have to respect even karmis. You know, sometimes we go, oh, that bad karmi, he's doing this, 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 and that. Wrong. Again, wrong. We have to consider to help that person. If we cannot help, better not to think bad about the person. Otherwise, the boomerang will come back to us. It's always about positive thinking. It's always about thinking in the spirit of Krishna consciousness. This is only and only way how to cure enviousness. If we have enviousness in our heart, we can fall down. If we have enviousness in our heart, whatever is level that we perform in our spiritual life can come repeatedly, you know, I mean, very fast down. Whatever build up for years, it can fall down in a second. Just if we allow that small weakness to enter our heart and to destroy our determination to follow some regulations. I feel that on my skin personally, and it's really, really bad. It's really bad. Bad feeling. You know, you're climbing on the mountain, climbing, climbing, climbing. I was climbing for 3 years, when I was 18 years old, for 3 years, really hard work, waking up. Didn't saw TV, you know, for me, not seeing TV was like, wow. I didn't saw TV for 3 whole years. And this is more hard than to become president of the United States. And somehow I maintained it, maybe. And after 3 years, I just allowed a small weakness to enter my heart, some old friends and something, or some old thoughts and some desires. Same second, bam. The same mountain which I was climbing suddenly became so close that earth was coming speed of the crash. I just crashed, so for 3 years again I was in Maya completely. Not completely. I didn't eat meat. I followed few regulations, but it was really hard for me to come back after that. That's why we have to be really, really, really careful all the time. Without exception, not to give compromise, not to make compromise with our mind. Now we should talk about the most important thing, how to cure enviousness. There are few ways. The most important way are found in Bhagavad Gita. This is 15.6, and I want to read this part for you, if you allow me. One should be captivated by this information. He should desire to transfer himself to that internal world and extricate himself from this false reflection of reality. For one who is too much attached to this material world, it is very difficult to cut that attachment. But if he takes to Krishna consciousness, there is a chance of gradually becoming detached. One has to associate himself with devotees, those who are in Krishna consciousness. Once you search out a society dedicated to Krishna consciousness and learn how to discharge devotional service. In this way, he can cut off his attachment to the material world, even the enviousness. I will repeat one more time. One has to associate himself with devotees, those who are in Krishna consciousness. Why I repeat that part particularly? If somebody is wearing dhoti, kurta, chador, sari, gopi dress, I learned to, you know, my daughters and wives, so many of women clothes. I mean, you have the gopi dress, you have a few, right? In any case, this is not a measure who is devotee and who is not devotee. This is not a measure how pure is heart of the personality. This is something also which can help us. It's a great help. When you wear something, I was 3 years in military school. They put us all the same clothes again. Himaranya Prabhu is here, he knows a little bit about military also. When they put you the same clothes, this is why in schools you have, you see those nice boys, they have very similar clothes. Because they should not see between each other who is wearing a greater fancy jeans, or who is wearing the better shirt, or who is wearing this and that, who is richer, who is poorer, who is following Pierre Cardin, or whatever is fashion today. They have to see, they should have a relationship on a deeper level, on the level of personality. We should all have a relationship on the level of personality, not on the level of what we have from the outside. And this is something very, very important. You have three kinds of sanghas. We have three kinds of sanghas which we can perform in our life. One is Krishna sangha. That means association with the Lord Himself. I already spoke a little bit about that. You can have association with the deities, with the Archimurti. You can have association with the Krishna's pastimes. And before there was through Hatha Yoga, so they had few ways how to have personal association with Lord. And this is very high level. And if we maintain only that kind of sangha, we are in dangerous position. Why? Because we have tendency to become a sahajiya. Sahajiya means person who start to imaginate things which were not really happening. Sahajiya is the personality who believes that he is getting special messages from Krishna, that he's realized special things which are not there in Shastras. In other words, sahajiya is person who wants to be special. We want to be special. I want to be closer to Krishna, I want to be special. It's very, very dangerous, and fell down can be very, very fast. The second kind of sangha, what we can maintain is sadhu sangha. Sadhu sangha is association with a pure person. The person which is on higher level than us. The person who can give us siddhanta. Siddhanta or knowledge. The person who can put us on high level of consciousness and who can teach us and help us with good advice what to do and how to do to help to improve our life. Sadhu Sangha is very welcome, but again, we should not have Sadhu Sangha all the time. Sadhu is on the level to have association with devotee all the time, but we are not on the level to have full-time association with sadhu, because in one particular moment we can see that sadhu is just as a regular human being as we are. Srila Prabhupada has similar problems with his disciples, our spiritual masters sometimes have similar problems with us, that we don't see sadhu anymore, but we see somebody who is almost equal like me. Sometimes we are even on such illusion that we want to give advice to sadhu, that, you know, we want to help him. I have a very interesting example from my personal life. I had the good fortune to serve my spiritual master, His Holiness Jayapataka Maharaj, in a couple of occasions to travel with him in a few countries as a servant, traveling secretary. And once we traveled to Bangladesh, we went there, we were supposed to be there for 5 days, I think. Devotees asked me if I want to go. I said, okay, so we fly the plane, two of us, and then we went there. I said, well, you know, when you're alone with your guru, when you're alone with such personality full time, and you believe that you're also special. Wow, I'm special. You know, I look like, you know, we hear, that's something good. And then we start to see the bad behavior in sadhu. You're trying not to, but it's in our nature, but we're still not pure to see that. So we went there, and there was a big pandal problem. There was almost 7,000 or 8,000 devotees. Anybody went to Bangladesh? Can you please raise up your hands? So you know what I'm talking about. Yeah, you even make money about Bangladesh, right? Vasudev Prabhu. So Bangladesh is an amazing place. So many warm-up devotees, they're chanting, dancing all the time. If you believe you see everything in Bengal, you saw nothing. People don't go there. This is something unbelievable. I went a few times with Guru Maharaj in Bangladesh. And that time, it was that great pandal problem, and there was a stage performance. And first there was some bhajans, and then Guru Maharaj came, and he said to Vyasa-san, and all those people was clapping and everything. I was standing next to him, helping, giving the book, this and that. I was the only foreigner except him and the whole yatra were there. And there was few police guards, you know, backup police guys. They're really in the black uniform, they're really special, you know, with those. They have the better weapons than our Calcutta police. I saw that. And they're, you know, standing like this, the whole problem is going on. Then Guru Maharaj starts with his bing, bing, bing. That was before stroke and everything. And in that moment, after maybe 20 minutes of lecture, he started a very loud kirtan. It was like, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Everybody was screaming. There were more people came up on the stage. You know, they're very natural people, Bangladeshis. They can climb easily on the stage in the middle of lecture. Yeah, because, you know, holy name, it's a warm atmosphere. And what happened, the stage immediately collapsed. The whole stage, yeah. It was on maybe 10 feet, 1.5 meters or something. It was a wooden stage. And I could feel vibrations more and more every second. But I thought maybe they have some elastic plywood, you know, so somehow it would be safe, but it wasn't. It was just a regular bang-bang thing. They did it probably a few hours before stage program. Stage collapse, we all started to fall down, including Guru Maharaj and Vyasa-san, myself and all the police guys. But that was not everything. You know what is the wiring system in India, especially in Bangladesh, is even better. Wires are all around you. You know, it's falling down, it's falling apart. It's nice because you can fix it easily. It's practical. But sometimes it's a little bit dangerous. It's true also. So one wire, take it off and start to fall down towards us. The big, fat wire for sound speakers. And that policeman, he wanted to save few Matajis who were standing in front, and he took that wire by hand somehow. But in the same time, he touched me. And you know, I somehow, in that particular moment, I was thinking about Guru Maharaj. And I want to save Guru Maharaj, so I touched him. It was completely unconscious thing, believe me, completely a reflex. And we were falling down, we had electricity to us going on, and it was just boom, crash. So we were all shaking, it was a very strong, you know, electricity going through us, and Guru Maharaj was like, like that. I saw he survived, that's good, okay, otherwise everybody would blame me. He turned over towards me and he just told me one thing which I will never forget in my life. And he told me, actually it's supposed to be opposite. You know, should go from him to me, not in opposite direction. And this is the whole truth exactly. You know, the knowledge and everything has to go from Krishna to all previous sadhus, to our spiritual master, towards us. If we try to the opposite direction, some current is always there. And it could be dangerous for us. It is also dangerous for our spiritual master. Believe me, I will never forget that lecture in my life. It was very practical, material lecture. So this is the way how things function in Sadhu Sangha. We can maintain only if we know how to maintain it. Third Sangha is Bhakti Sangha. If you ask me, the most important Sangha which we are supposed to have. Somebody will say Sadhu Sangha, somebody will say Krishna Sangha. And this is something that we naturally have and we are here. But Bhakti Sangha is art. It's something that we have to know how to maintain. Bhakti Sangha is not friendly relationship. Bhakti Sangha is not karmic relationship. Bhakti Sangha is something else. Bhakti Sangha means relationship with another person who are trying to be devotee without any bad feelings between. In other words, with full respect. If there is no respect, there is no Bhakti Sangha. It doesn't matter if you are 6 years old or 86 years old. If there is no respect between two personalities or five personalities or whatever, this is not a Bhakti Sangha. This is just exchange, which is also not welcome for us. And we are in a wonderful place to practice that what we call a Bhakti Sangha. Bhakti Sangha means having useful exchange with another person. Pradhananda Maharaj, one time in Serbia, he gave lecture and there was 30 devotees. And at the end of lecture, one devotee, he would ask question and he asked, okay, so there are 30 devotees here and this, this and that. And Pradhananda Maharaj just stopped him. He asked him, how many devotees? He said, well, around 30. He said, I don't see any devotee here in this room. Then he all goes, what? You know, I was trying for 20 years to build myself as devotee, and I'm devotee. And he just turned over and he said, we are all trying to be devotee. We are all candidates to become devotees. Devotee is very high level. Being devotee is a very, extremely high level. But being candidate for devotee is something that anybody can achieve, and it's great if you take that path, if we all take that path. So we are on the path to become devotees. All glories to devotees. Jai. So, if two candidates to be devotees, and there is also explanation, I'm sorry, there is also explanation in Srimad Bhagavatam as well in the Bhagavad Gita. I didn't read that verse because we don't have time. I just tell few words about that. That actually, who is envious? He is not even candidate to be devotee. He is not candidate to be devotee. There are several, I'm going to read, that will be the last thing from Gojima Kapatavi, from the magazine which Bhaktivinoda Thakur was producing many, many years back. There is one explanation about what does it mean being a devotee. What does it mean being candidate for devotee? What does it mean being member of this movement, member of this community? And it's very high qualification. In other words, the list of what we're supposed to avoid in our life. And it's a big list. And one of the things, and the first things is enviousness. So, the point is, if we have enviousness in our heart, we are not even candidate for devotees. If we have something that we are trying not to have, then we are candidates. So steps are, we have to recognize that we are envious. We have to recognize how to... Actually, first we have to develop desire to cure ourselves from envious, because some people, they enjoy being envious. And then we have to realize, we have to understand how we can do that, how to free ourselves from enviousness. Once we have 0% of enviousness in our heart, we are ready to come back in the spiritual world. All this movement, all Bhakti Yoga is about love, but not just any kind of love, it's about pure love. There was one community program there, I make a short movie, they asked me just that morning, and so I put things together, and in the beginning I just put This movie is about love. Then everybody, the half of the standing over watching me like that. And then next thing came in the red letters, pure love. Pure love is something else. Pure love means love towards Krishna. Pure love means that you love somebody with pure feelings, and only we can feel that when we have association with Krishna, with nobody else. But to have association with Krishna, we should have first association with devotees, and to have a great association with devotees, and everybody should have great feelings towards us, then we should have a pure and nice association with sadhus, and then we can have a great association with Krishna. And then once we overcome that, then we are ready to go back to spiritual world, or to stay here to preach forever, because anyway we are going to be liberated forever, right? It doesn't matter where we are. We are in the spiritual world. So, what we can do here in Mayapur, because we are here right now, and now we are coming to the practical part, the last part of lesson. In the Prabhupada in Mayapur, the Prabhupada said few things how Grihastha should behave here and what they are supposed to do. So one of the things is actually they should be constantly engaged in Sangha, in the proper Sangha also. Bhakti Sangha doesn't mean I'm male, you're female, even if you're wife or some of my friend or something like that. I can stay with you for 2 hours chatting again and repeatedly, and we're discussing about Krishna. This is also nice and pure Sangha. There are certain regulations and certain ways how we can avoid possibly dangerous situations for our life, for our spiritual life. There is a recommendation that men, the prophecies, they should have more sangha with the males, that means with the devotees in the same stage, in the same sex. Matajis, they should be more with matajis. Children, it's nice when they have more association between each other. You know, I have two kids, when they are alone at home, it's like a wow, like explosion. When you bring more children, like 5, 6 kids together, they're more peaceful. It's amazing. Right, it's supposed to be opposite. You have more children, supposed to be more, but it's not. They're happy, they have sangha, they have association, they feel nice. Devotees should not be alone. We have many devotees living in their houses, they're alone all the time, worshipping their own deities, doing their own service, the whole day alone, all of it, internet like a bit. Internet, disease of the modern century. This is dangerous. That's why we need sangha. That's why we need full-time association. If ladies married, she can be with husband certain period of time, but not full day, also is not healthy. If somebody is student, they should be with teachers and with other students, and that's best. That's best association for them. They should not go around alone, and we have some students in some schools who, you know, doing whatever they want. If, particular instance, if you are a prabhu or, you know, man, you're performing some service, you're doing some devotional service, we have to choose which kind of sangha is best for us. And this is what we're supposed to maintain. And then we will be secure in Krishna consciousness. And then we're never gonna feel enviousness. And then we're never gonna feel that we miss something in Mayapur. Then we're never gonna feel that we want to leave Mayapur. Then, and only then, we're going to be happy here. Only if we have a proper association, and if we maintain that association in the proper way. Even you don't need to speak so much between each other. We don't have to. Few words sometimes is enough. This is the last story for today, and I'm going to finish here. There is Rajuta Divekar. She is a very famous yoga and fitness teacher here in India. All these Bollywood stars, they're going to Rajuta, and she's teaching them, training how to do yoga, fitness. She's like very famous yogi, lady yogi. So she likes to travel around and she likes to meet new people, saints, to discuss with them and to exchange, like Lady of the Modern Age, let's say. So one time she heard the story about, there is one special Baba in Himalayas, Simla Baba is his name. And he lived on, what is the name? Tapovan. You ever heard about Tapovan? There is one holy place, there is Gomukh. This is the place where Ganga is coming out from the Himalayas, exactly. And Tapovan is even higher. Tapovan is about 6,000 meters. It's high. There's Tapovan. There are very few people around in some caves they're living. 6 months, no, 6 feet. It's only a few people can survive there. And Simla Baba is the only one who stayed there for more than 10 years. And very special sadhu. So she really wanted to meet him. And she prepared herself, she put the bag, she ran away there. Somehow she catch a gomukh. Then from there, for many, many hours, she was climbing on that mountain to reach the famous Baba. So finally, after all those hours and months of preparation and everything, she went there. She went to Tapovan, she found him, and she sit next to him. You know, the modern yogi lady sit next to all Baba Sadhu in the Himalayas cave. And she wanted to have association with him. So she asked him, "Oh great Sadhu, please tell me why you are here and what you are doing here." And she was expecting, you know, now she's going to give her the whole lecture, that they're going to chat a little bit and they're going to have, you know, a few things. What he said is only one sentence. "The same who sent you here, sent me here." That was everything. "The same who sent you here, sent me here." Of course, she tried to continue conversation. She tried many different ways. He didn't respond anymore. She climbed down after a couple of hours, completely disappointed. Completely. You know, you spend your months and everything to go there to hear something that you already know. At least you think that you know. But when you hear from sadhu, it's different. Then something started to happen in her head, in her heart. After those words, she completely changed her life. She dedicated herself, you know, in religious principles. Just a few words of the sadhu, it was enough. Nothing more. And now she's a different person, and she's going around not telling anymore about fitness and yoga, a little bit, we like yet to like. But she's telling about her experience. So this is one great example how sadhu sangha could be very useful and very practical if it's under the measure, and we have to maintain that. So if you ask me just what we are supposed to remember from today, is actually that we are not dasa, but we are in sampradaya of dasu anudasa. That means servant of the servant, and we have to serve another devotees and to respect them on all different possible ways. So thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Do you have any questions? I know it's too late. Please forgive me for keeping you so late. I didn't spend so much time at this Vyasa-san, so I don't have experience.